Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, I was thinking about you yesterday when we heard the news about Sean Penn and President Zelensky. Have you had a Sean Penn sighting there at all?
Well, we had a connection to him. Good afternoon, Bob, from the highways of Ukraine. In the first day of the war, Sean Penn, he was in Kyiv that week working on a movie just unrelated to the war, and then he got stuck. And one of our team members with Ukrainian Freedom News, his sister, was Sean Penn's translator.
Oh,
and
really?
So I had custody of Sean Penn's bulletproof vest from the first couple of days of the war because he escaped. And those were terrifying days. And with my friend's sister and others, he was able to escape. But then I think a week later, he came back and he said he wanted to help. And so he's been here several times now.
Well, we are hearing news about the Kherson retreat and that it may well be an ambush. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, we're at the city from which I spoke to you yesterday, Mykolaiv, is only about less than 10 miles from the Kherson region and from Russian positions. That's where we could hear some of the artillery in the background. The city of Kherson is quite close to Mykolaiv, and that was one of the first cities to fall at the beginning of the war into Russian hands. I spoke to you yesterday about the mayor of Mykolaiv and how he helped his city defend itself against the Russians in the first week of the war. Kherson fell surprisingly quickly, and a lot of people think there might have been some collusion in the local government. But now, with this news, Russia has made a very public show of saying that they are retreating from Kherson. And, it's not like Russia to really trumpet a major loss. So this is very unusual. And I think after when we had the news, I think it was October 8th, of the Crimean Bridge, it was a very exciting moment for Ukrainians and the world. It seemed that the Crimean Bridge was blown up. And 2 days later, Russia had that major attack on Ukraine's infrastructure. And so I think everyone's learned their lesson from that. No one is celebrating yet. We really don't know what to make of it. And there is an uneasy sense that Russia is setting the stage for a new level of Russian escalation.
I was hopeful yesterday and kind of surprised to hear the news that President Zelensky said he was open to peace talks with Russia. So this is kind of a change in course, isn't it?
I would say it's not a change because if you look at what he said very closely, it's not a change from the Ukrainian position, because he said we're open to peace talks if we can get back to all of the, and he was a little bit vague here, but if we can get back, the borders February 24th. And here's where the vagueness is. Does he also mean, because I think most Ukrainians say they want Crimea back. They want the Crimean Peninsula returned. And only then can there be peace talks. But most directly what Zelensky said is, Russia has to give back the territory that it has conquered or occupied, and then peace talks can begin. And so there's not really a change in the Ukrainian position. It's trying to put additional pressure on Russia. It still kind of seems impossible. In fact, the German foreign minister said yesterday, what Russia is doing is not just an attack on Ukraine, but upon all of our values in the West. And so that's still the clear position of Ukraine. Speaking of Crimea, I was just at, right now I'm on the highway back to Kyiv with my friends and colleagues here. But just about an hour ago, I was on the Black Sea coast of Odessa, and we were having lunch at a Crimean Tartar restaurant on the beach with the beautiful sea and the smell of the salt air. And, you can't go in the water. Of course, because as I looked at that sea, you can feel that it is, it's such a beautiful sight, but it is full of threats and submarines, maybe even some NATO submarines. There's a lot going on out there. But we sat at this restaurant of the Crimean people who for centuries occupied, or they lived in the Crimean Peninsula during the times of the Tsars and during the times of the Soviet Union. They were oppressed by the Russians. Stalin forced them to leave their seaside home and sent them to Central Asia. But then after 1991, they were able to return, only to have to face Russian control again since 2014. And so the Crimean people, after the 2014, when Russia took that peninsula, many of them they now live throughout Ukraine. They bring their amazing, it's a Muslim culture, but which is another point. I mean, these Korean Muslims get along very well with Ukrainian Christians, and they share their amazing food and even their homemade wine at these great restaurants that they have all over Ukraine. But sitting there at that restaurant is a reminder that the Ukrainian people do not want to abandon the Crimean Tatars. And so peace requires for Ukrainians getting back the Crimean Peninsula.
Those scenes you described, Joe, what contradictions? You mentioned the beautiful sea and then the danger that lurks. And it's amazing that you can go through an almost normal day in Ukraine.
Yeah, you know, as we're sitting, we're on the terrace high above the sea. And looking down, there are seagulls, and the beach is quiet because, you know, it's not a destination right now. It's also a little chilly. And there were two girls walking down the beach, and, you know, you just can imagine what's on their minds, you know, thinking of the times when they used to go to the sea and take a boat out, and you can't do any of that now. And so, yeah, you still have some normalcy, but surrounded by the sadness and heaviness.
Yeah, well, we can hope for all of that one day, and you begin to understand the resolve of the people there who want their country back, and the rebuilding is going to be a whole other story. We'll get more tomorrow. Joseph, be safe on the road, and we'll talk Friday. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.